Excited about the word God has for us tonight. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you so much. Appreciate the worship team and all you guys do. So awesome getting us in the presence of God and worshiping Him. The Lord gave me a word to give tonight that I believe is for every one of us. We all need this. And if we were in the military, we would need some training and some teaching, and also just keep brushing up on that training and teaching. And you could, if you're out in the field and you're fighting, you need to constantly be improving your chances of making it through and winning and being victorious in the fight. But tonight I want to talk about how to keep from falling. How to keep from falling. And when I say that, for those of you that have maybe not been churched, I'm not talking about literally falling. Like I've fallen and I can't get up. It's like one guy I told once, time I worked at the Olive Garden, I told one of the other hosts there, I said, yeah, this so-and-so, yeah, a friend of mine, they backslid, and he grabbed his back and he goes, ooh, like that must have hurt when he backslid. And I had to explain to him, no, I don't mean he literally slid on his back. But he slid back away from God. So when I say how to keep from falling, if we were in the military, this might be a teaching on how not to get shot. How not to get taken out by the enemy. Because there is an enemy. We all have a common enemy. And he hates you just because of whose you belong to. Who you are. And the uniform that you wear. Jude 1:20, and these are just a few scriptures and things that God has blessed me with, having been here over 19 years, coming up this summer on staff, and then having been here for even longer than that. I've seen a few things here, and then even through ministry before that. I was teaching Sunday school with my sister when I was 9 years old, and I've been pretty churched. And I've seen a lot of people come and go. I've seen some people make it, and I've seen a lot that didn't make it. And sometimes in church and in ministry, that scripture that says 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. You have to stand on that many times when you look around at the body of Christ or people that you know that maybe they once served God on fire for God, but maybe they're not serving God like they used to. And so you have to stand on that scripture. But Jude 1:20 says this, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what we were just doing, is we were praying in the Holy Ghost. We're building ourselves up on our most holy faith. We're speaking the perfect will of God. And if you need faith for healing in your body, you just start to pray in the Holy Ghost and watch what will happen. And then it says in Jude 1:21, keep yourselves in the love of God. That's what we do as we're praying for others, we're keeping ourselves in the love of God. And that's something you have to do. You keep yourself in the love of God. That's not something God does for you. And part of that is crucifying your flesh and getting your body to do what it's supposed to do. And sometimes you have to make your body obey. You have to make your body keep yourself in church. You have to keep yourself involved. You got to keep yourself from being offended. You got to keep yourself in the love of God. And so there's God's part, but then there's our part. And we have to cooperate with God. But it says chapter 1, Jude 1:22, and if some have compassion, making a difference. And Pastor Bob taught on this the other day. There are some that God just puts on your heart. It's that one that you go after. You might leave the 99 to go after that one. And there are people in your heart that God just puts on your heart to be moved with compassion for that specific person and to walk in love for that person. But again, you've got to make your mind and your body do it. And one of the traps I see that takes a lot of people out in church and in ministry, and I think I'm talking to the right crowd here because you're the ones that are most involved and that are doing the stuff and have for a long time. But too many people say, oh, church, after a while it got to become a drudgery, it got to become a chore, and so I just quit going. And I meet people pretty regularly, not here necessarily, but other places in life, that say, oh yeah, I used to go to church, but I got, you know, I was so involved, it just got to be so much, I just quit going. Let me tell you something, that is a trap. Because I have seen none of those people do well in life. Not one has ever gotten closer to God and is saying, ah, it's just too much, I'm quitting. It doesn't work that way. We don't quit. One thing I love about Pastor Bob Nichols that should be in us if we're plugged into this house and in this ministry is the spirit of don't quit. Really, that's something we need to grab a hold of spiritually, but also even physically, as those of you that are Texans, you should have a don't quit mentality. Let me appeal to your Texan side. I was in Colorado skiing. And we were on a ski lift and I heard the people next to me talking about some Native Americans and some history from Native America and different things that they did and all these things. And I said, you know, where I come from there in Texas, there's a story of a lady. She was in her 80s, out in Weatherford or out past that in Parker County. And she had gotten speared by a group of Native Americans. I need to be politically correct here. I start to say Indians, but we're Texans. Come on. Sorry if I offended anyone not from Texas. But this Native American tribe came in and speared this lady and left her for dead. And the lady got up and walked for miles after they left her for dead. Having been speared, walked for miles to the nearest settlement, was able to get help and recovered. And he was talking about, man, this lady was tough. And one of the guys on the lift said, I was just reading about that the other day. He said, let me tell you, I've heard that story about a chief named Quanah Parker. And I said, yes, Quanah Parker, that's Parker County. And he said, man, those Texans are tough. And I said, yeah, we are. We're tough. But he said something that made me think. He said, yeah, most of those people came to Texas because they were coming to establish, they were pioneers to establish a new state and to come and take over areas that were dangerous. The chances of survival were nil. And trying to break new ground. And so those Texans that came here and settled this area were tough. You got to be pretty tough to come to an area and say, so I might get killed. There's odds are against me. Okay, I'll go. That says something. Yeah. I know Ashley's family, they live out in Brock, Texas. And her great, great, great grandfather way back. Hang on, I lost power here. He came here from Tennessee to settle this land at 75 or something. 75 years old. Got here, got married, and had 5 kids after that. And settled about 1,000 acres of land out in Brock. He's buried out in their back pasture. Elijah Harrison. And you know, her granddad was the chief of police there in Weatherford. You don't mess with him. Her brother, Texas Rangers. He's a major, I think, now in the Texas Rangers. You don't mess with him. You know, the devil should fear us, not us fear him. And to say, you know, let me tell you something about those Christians from Texas. Don't mess with them because they don't quit. They don't give up easy. I know this one pastor. Over 50 years, the devil's been trying to stop. And there's not quit in him. If it was, he would have quit by now. But I want to talk to you about a revelation I got on how to keep from falling. That really I got from a preaching Pastor Bob did. And it made me say, ooh, that's good. Jude chapter 1, 23, it says, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now look at this, Jude 1, 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. I'll never forget the first time I heard Pastor Bob preach that. And I had come through the 80s where it seemed like preachers were falling like flies all over the place. And ministry, even my own dad fell in ministry. And others that I saw that I loved and looked up to and thought, there's no way. Even they fell. And I came through that. We came here in 1992. And I'll never forget Pastor Bob preaching this. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling. He said, God can keep you from falling. And I grabbed a hold of that. I said, praise God, it's hope. There is hope here. We don't have to fall. God's able to keep us. And so, first of all, our trust has to be in Him. Thank God we're Texans. Thank God we have that don't quit mentality. But I also need to look unto Jesus and say, God, it's because of you that I don't quit. So whether you're from Texas or not, we're all in the body of Christ. Amen? And we may have some French people here tonight that say, I'm not going to quit either because that's the nature of my God. God doesn't quit. That's my DNA. I'm plugged into the body. I'm part of Jesus' body. His blood flows through my veins. Amen? But He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Praise God. So these are just some tips that I've picked up along the way that have helped. And the Lord just spoke to me something the other day. I was sitting underneath a tree, just sitting there. And words just came to my mind and they all rhymed. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. Just really just bam, 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 bam. And they all rhymed. One of the words, let me give this to you, conviction. Conviction. And I want you to take notes here. Write these words down because this will help you. Conviction. Affliction. Restriction. And eviction. I'm going to say that again. Conviction, affliction, restriction, eviction. And if you notice, that's an acronym. It's the word CARE. That's how you can remember it. I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. I can remember that. So, even somebody like me, when the Lord speaks something that simple, I can't miss it. But I realized all these things that God has shown me fit in these words. First of all, how to keep from falling? Conviction. Conviction, submitting to God's Word. And letting God's Word get into my mind, into my heart, into my body, and bring conviction whenever I'm doing anything contrary to God's Word. And you need to know God's Word on the inside to have that conviction take place. So your conscience is renewed by God's Word and it convicts you anytime you start to get off track. So if you start to fall, it's like somebody said, people don't necessarily plan to fail, they just fail to plan. People don't necessarily fail to fall, but they fail to follow their convictions. Because I guarantee you, your conviction always stops you before a fall comes. Psalms 119:10 says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Lord, don't let me wander from your word. And then this verse I got a hold of. I remember Revelation. Hang on. Actually, I'm going to get to that in a second. Well, actually, right now, I guess. The next verse, verse 11, Psalms 119:11. And I put it on my refrigerator. I put it on a magnet, printed it out, put it on my refrigerator. Because it was revelation. It was another one of those, now unto him who's able to keep you from falling. This was another verse. It was like a foundation, a brick that I was able to stand on. Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. God's word in your heart will keep you from sin. It's like somebody said, sin will keep you from this book and this book will keep you from sin. It's like someone said, sin will keep you from this book, and this book will keep you from sin. So get in the book and you'll be free. If you're wondering, how do I get free from sin? How do I get out of it? How do I stay out of it? Get in the Word. Get it on the inside of you. Thy Word have I hid. I've hoarded it up. I've stuffed it everywhere I can in my heart so that I might not sin against thee. Verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Lord, teach me your word. I come to you, God, as a humble student, Lord. Not as a know-it-all. Not of God, don't worry, I've got this. But Lord, I come humbly as a student. Lord, teach me. I'll learn from anybody. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's a six-year-old kid. I can learn something from him. If God speaks to me through anyone, whether they're older or younger, I can listen. And it's important that we listen and say, okay, God, however you choose to speak to me, whoever it is, I receive your word. If they're speaking the truth in God's word, I'm going to submit to it. Because I submit to God's word. I have to listen to my conscience. If I don't listen to my conscience, what will happen is my wife usually comes and tells me the same thing. And she'll say, you know, babe, and then she'll start to tell me something. I'll say, she knows my conscience has already been talking to me, because I say, yeah, I know. I know. I've already been thinking the same thing. I need to do that or I need to not do that. And I just had to wait. Unfortunately, my conscience didn't stop me, so my wife had to. Thank God for people in our life, hey, to speak into our life. But instead of snapping back or being like, well, you don't talk to me, woman. I'm the man, you're the woman. You don't put me in my place, I put you in your place. Come on. You are not going to fall. You have already fallen. How far have you fallen? But you're about to fall a lot farther once your wife gets a hold of you. That's just not right. The Bible says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Now look at that. All of you be subject one to another. Now we submit ourselves to our elders, definitely. We were taught to do that. I hope we're training our children. Respect your elders. Honor your elders. Honor your father and your mother. But be subject one to another, just as we're subject to the word of God. Clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Don't rob God of the pleasure of exalting you. Be patient. He is mighty enough. He is able to keep you from falling. Another problem I see a lot of times in life and through the past however many years it's been being in ministry, is people trying to promote themselves or get themselves in a position that they're not ready for or can't handle. A wise person will say, God, you know what I can handle. You put me where you want me. God, you know. Father knows best. He really does. Then you get to an age sometimes where spiritually you get to become like a spiritual teenager where you know more than God. But a real mature person will go beyond that and grow to the point where all of a sudden God seems a lot smarter. And he knows more than I know. And so conviction says, Lord, I'm humbling, I'm trusting you. Casting all your care upon him, verse 7, for he cares for you. He cares for you. Just like I care for my son, God cares for you. Just like I care for my daughter, God cares for you. I watch over them. I make sure they're due. I correct them. In the same way, God wants to correct us, and he'll use his word to correct us. But we've got to receive that correction from his word. I receive it, Lord. For a while there, I had to go around here saying, Lord, I receive your correction. I receive your instruction. Lord, I receive your correction. I receive your instruction. Because every part of my body did not want to do it. Nothing in me wanted to. But again, that's part of making it. Because the moment you say, Lord, I don't receive your correction, I don't receive your instruction, you're headed for a fall. And again, it's pride. It's saying, God, I know more than you do. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Again, you have to give the devil permission to take you out. You realize that. For a long time, I always thought, well, the devil's just, he's just nailing people. There's nothing they can do about it. It's like, man, they just fell away because they were powerless, because the power of the devil overcame them and they fell away. That's not true. The fact is, he's going around seeking whom he may devour, looking for somebody, but you have to give him permission. You have the deciding vote between God or the devil. And verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So stay steadfast in your faith. But the God of all grace, who has called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So it takes some patience sometimes in your walk with Christ. Sometimes you hit a wall, it seems like, in your walk with God. It's like, man, I remember when everything used to be great. We were in our honeymoon phase, and now all of a sudden, bam, I hit a wall, and it's like, I don't seem to be growing in God anymore. It's like, God, I've just been doing the same thing for a long time. Don't quit. Come on. Don't stop. That's when you press in. And a lot of people think that God responds to need, but He doesn't respond to need. So many people are saying, God, I need this, I need this. Why doesn't God do anything? I need this. Doesn't He see my need? God doesn't respond to need, He responds to faith. And so you've got to have some faith with your need. He knows your need. But get some faith mixed with it and say, God, I'm trusting You. I'm calling on You out of a heart of faith. And we've got to have patience with other people. One of the greatest challenges that Jesus suffered and one of His greatest afflictions, I believe, is putting up with people. Having patience with people. There are times where others falling may cause you some trial or affliction. Sometimes great affliction. But you just stick with it. Say, Lord, I'm trusting You. I'm patient with others. I'm loving others. I'm releasing forgiveness to those that might have fallen or might have failed or might have blown it. I release forgiveness. Because I don't want to fall in that same trap. And what you hold against others, you have to beware, because that same thing will come looking for you. If there's something you're mad at someone else for doing, watch it. Forgive. Because that's dangerous. That's like walking on a slippery slope. You're going to slide in yourself the moment you start judging people for what they did that was wrong. So humility is a key to not falling. Luke 18, 10 through 14 talks about, again, that's Luke 18, verse 10 through 14, the publican and the Pharisee, how the Pharisee said, oh, thank God I'm not like this sinner. I tithe, I do this, I've been coming to, you know, we have to be careful. This group, if anything, as faithful as you are, we have to be careful that we're not the older brother in the story of the prodigal son. Because the temptation is, I've been here faithful how many years? And look, that miracle that person gets, or the recognition they get, or the party they get, or whatever. And I've been serving, I've been doing all this. Well, you have an opportunity to be offended that you need to not take. And say, okay, I realize I am an older brother. I'm going to come in and party with the younger brother and say, praise God, you're home. This is awesome. I'm jumping in here too. In fact, I should be doing this the whole time. We should have been partying the whole time. So, don't forget to party every once in a while. As the faithful, as the loyal, the available, the teachable, don't forget to party every once in a while. And act as though you were a prodigal that just came home. And Dad said, I forgive you of everything. Put yourself in that same boat. Say, thank you, Jesus. This is awesome. Colossians 3:25 says, but he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. And there is no respect of persons. Another trap I see a lot of people fall in is they think, especially in ministry. I see ministers make this mistake a lot. Where because I'm in ministry, I don't have to obey the law. Have you ever seen that, Dave? People in ministry, because I'm in ministry, I don't have to obey the law. I don't have to pay taxes. Are you kidding? No, no, no. Or to be like, oh, I can speed all I want. I can run this red light. I can get away with this because God said I can do it, but it's against the law. Wait a second. You're going to jail. I learned this one time whenever I had been in a meeting It was an awesome Bible study. The power of God moved. God used me to give a word where I gave a word of knowledge, specific names that blew people's mind. And it blew my mind. I said, God, you are awesome. Only God could do this. I was so excited, got my car. I'm driving home and I drove through this light that was turning yellow. So, of course, I hit the gas. And I thought I made it through the light. But there were lights behind me that started going off. And a police officer that said, you did not make the light. And I said, I could have sworn that light was yellow, sir. He said, well, even if it was, you were speeding to catch it. So I'm just going to give you a ticket for the lesser. I said, well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you. Humble yourself quickly. But as I'm driving away, I was arguing with God, saying, God, here I am now with a ticket, and I've been serving you, and now I've got this bill to pay. Way to go, God. Have you ever blamed God for something? He's like, don't you blame me for that. And God spoke to me and just said, you have to still obey the law, son. Don't get so excited and so in this spiritual. I am so used of God that I don't have to even obey the law anymore. Hey, you'll get taken out. There'll be a fall. You'll get unplugged. So, stop running the light. Because again, you know destruction is coming. And that's why those officers are actually there to help you. Because they know people that try to run those lights and try to floor it and get through real quick without looking, or somebody else, their light was green, it's going to cause destruction. Okay? So again, if you don't listen to your conscience, if you don't listen to your wife, you'll listen to the police. So first of all, again, conviction. Secondly, affliction. Affliction. And then when I say affliction, I'm not talking sickness, although that's one definition. But crucifying your flesh. Zig Ziglar was known for saying, life is tough, but when you're tough on yourself, life will be infinitely easier on you. And sometimes you have to be tough on yourself. Your body may need some affliction to keep it from addiction. That was not a rhyming word, but I put that in there. Addiction. Affliction can keep you from addiction. And again, I'm not talking about like self-mutilation, but getting onto yourself. Stop yourself so that authority won't have to. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So those of you that are runners know you're obtaining a crown. You're running for that gold medal, but that's corruptible. But we're running for an incorruptible prize. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. I'm not running for nothing, but I keep under my body, is what Paul said. I keep under it, and I bring it into subjection. I take authority over my body. A lot of times we try to take authority over the devil, but you really need to take over the authority over your body. Because again, it wasn't the devil that got me that ticket. It wasn't God that got me that ticket. It was me that got me that ticket. It was my flesh and my impatience and my carelessness that did that. Again, how to keep from falling. Paul said, I bring my body into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I have to choose affliction sometimes over the pleasures of this world. And we see that example from Moses. By faith, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, Moses chose the affliction of God's people rather than the pleasure of sin for a season in Egypt. And so there are times, I know the devil likes to make sin so convenient and so fun and so pleasurable. Why do you think they invite people to come to these casinos and stay in such a nice hotel? Oh, come, we'll feed you. I've known people that have told, man, I go to this casino and they let me stay in these hotels for free. And I'm like, that caught my attention. You get to stay there for free? Wow, I want to know about this. Oh, yeah, I stay for free. They bring me food, whatever I want. Really? Yes. And then I go down and I gamble away all my money. And they keep sending me these invitations. And they want me to keep coming. And it's awesome. That's where I go on my vacation. I take my whole paycheck and I blow. And I'm like, how much is your paycheck? Oh, it's several thousand dollars. And I say, now, wait a second. It's free? That hotel costs you $3,000 a night, buddy. Think about it. That's how the devil works, though. I'm telling you. That's how the devil works. He says, yeah, it won't cost you anything. Oh, yeah? Well, I would rather choose affliction over the pleasures of sin for a season, because sin really is pleasurable for a season. But it, like my dad said, it's like playing with rattlesnakes. It's a very short season. And so affliction means sometimes being tough on your body when your body wants its way. That's a fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. And I know there is a balance. Again, I'm not talking about just beating yourself, walking in here on your knees through the parking lot, saying, I'm afflicting myself so I can be more holy. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about getting your body out of bed when it wants to sleep in on Sunday. That's some affliction. I'm talking about staying up a little bit longer to read the Word whenever your flesh is wanting to go to bed, or to put God first whenever your favorite TV show is on. Again, I've known people in ministry that they would leave the pulpit and cut the service early because they wanted to go watch Gunsmoke. My dad told me about this one pastor. They were in revival. He was a traveling evangelist. And this one pastor left the service. And my dad said the meeting was awesome. He said the air was so thick you could cut it with a knife. I'll never forget, he told me the air was he couldn't even explain it. He said it was like rare. It was a rare moment in the presence of God, and the pastor gets up and goes to his office. My dad goes to the office and says, where are you going, man? It's awesome. And he's watching the World Series. The World Series. Now, come on. Have you ever found yourself, though, maybe making a decision that wasn't necessary, maybe for what you wanted to do? May not be the World Series, but maybe it was I Love Lucy, or I don't know, whatever you like, that you wanted to go catch or watch or do. Are you thinking, man, why is it that turkey season is opening the day before Easter? Why, God? Why is turkey season April 4th this year? I'm serious. Why does deer season start on the night before a great revival that we're having? Well, you might need to just suffer a little affliction. You got to discipline your body to do what needs to be done because it won't want to do it. The greatest miracles I have seen in soul winning have come at the most inconvenient times. They really have. The greatest miracles in soul winning have come at the most inconvenient times. And so you might have to, if your body is not obeying, you might have to ground yourself and say, okay, no media for you. I'm not going to let myself watch any media. I'm grounded. You might have to say, I don't like the way my life is going in this direction, so I'm going to have to stop that. I'm putting a stop to it now. A wise man sees evil afar off and runs from it. I can't hang out with this group of people like I used to because I've noticed that my life is going in a downward spiral. It's heading in a downward direction. They're not changing for God, and so I'm going to have to stop. I'm not going to associate with them anymore. because I can see this is not a good situation. That's how you keep from falling. Don't get near the edge. It's like the story of the chariot driver. The king who wanted to hire a chariot driver, and all these guys lined up and they said, okay, I'm going to give you all a test run and see who can do the best. And this one chariot driver, he gets in, he takes the king all the way up to the edge of the cliff and says, look how good I can keep you without falling. And then he goes off, and the king gets out and says, whoa, that was pretty scary. You're a pretty amazing driver. That second one, oh, I can do better than that. He gets where his wheel is right in that edge of that cliff. And that king is looking over going, oh my gosh. The third guy, he says, I can do even better than that. I can hang a wheel off the side. So as he's going, he hangs that wheel off the side of the cliff. And he is so close, they're about to fall over. But he pulls the reins and gets back off and says, I'm definitely the best driver. The last fourth guy he gets in, you know where it's going. King gets in the chariot and the driver just comes very carefully, sees the cliff and goes as far as he can away from it and comes over here and brings the king back and says, King says, you're hired. Why take the risk if you don't have to? You know it? Why risk the life of the king? And I'm telling you, why risk your life? Not worth it. If you have a problem, stay away from there. If you have an issue with that, don't go there. If there's any danger there of falling away from the Lord, then just don't do it. Just say no. You got to die to the flesh. Hallelujah. Restriction. We talked about conviction, affliction, restriction. Ephesians 4:27 says, do not give place to the devil. Give no place to the devil. Now, rated R, if you look in movies these days, rated R, that means restricted. Because by the world standards, that should be restricted. That's what the world says. So if the world says that, do we follow the world? Think about it. No, I'm not going to let the world be my standard for living. But if the world says it's restricted, then how much more should I say it's restricted for me? Amen? I mean, there's a new pirate movie that's coming out. I heard it's rated R. Bad joke. It's rated R. I've noticed that, though, ungodly media speeds up backsliding. It does. Ungodly movies speed up backsliding. It's like jumping in freezing cold water in the winter. Increases the speed of hypothermia so fast that many times people can't get out of it. And so, again, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. And there are some places that we have to label access restricted in our lives. That is restricted access to me. I don't go there. Psalms 101:3 says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Psalms 101:4, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Now, that word in the Hebrew, I will not know a wicked person, means that I will not be acquainted with, watch, admire, or think about a wicked person. So again, how can you be watching that stuff and not thinking about it? All right? This, I'm just telling you how to keep from falling. I'm not judging you. I'm not saying, you know, it's a sin for you to go, but I'm telling you it's not wisdom, because I've seen too many people fall. I've seen lives go down the drain as a result of that. Yeah, when the VCR came out in the late 80s, it destroyed a ton of families. And you thought that was bad. When the internet came out, it destroyed a ton more. So I'm telling you, sometimes technology is not a good thing. And if you can't control it, get it out of your house. Which brings us to eviction. Eviction. If the restriction isn't helping, then go to the eviction, the last point. The Bible says that we will cast out devils, not welcome and invite devils. Right? When you're watching certain things, you're inviting the devil into your house. You're supposed to cast the devil out, not invite him in. And again, there's a right heart and a right spirit here. I'm not talking about going and judging everyone else and going out preaching a gospel of thou shalt not, you don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But at the same time, if it will help somebody, speaking the truth in love is a good thing. And I've seen enough people to say, oh, I don't want that. I don't want to fall like that. I'm thanking God for a conviction and affliction. Hallelujah. And restriction. And now we're going to have some eviction going on at our house. You might need to do a cleansing in your home. There have been times like that with Ashley and me that we just said, you know, there's some things we need to get out of our house. It creeps in. It does. And you wonder, how did this get here? Where did this come from? Well, you might need to do an eviction, give the devil an eviction notice of your house and just go through your stuff and say, listen, this needs to be gotten rid of. This is trash. What are we doing with this? You know, clean out closets, clean out kids' toys, clean out all kinds of stuff. Just say, what is this? How did this get in here? Oh, I got that in a Happy Meal. What? This is not of God. We're getting rid of it. We're serving eviction on the devil. I know when I was in the 80s, they had the turmoil in the toy box message that came through the church, and they had a whole slideshow and video of all the toys that were of the devil. And hey, there we are. You have to throw away all your toys. And I was watching that going, no, no, no. And I tried to show my parents how godly my toys were. My G.I. Joes lay hands on each other, get each other saved, and this one is baptizing this one, Mom, see? I had friends, they had all the He-Man, all the He-Man action figures, trashed. There was weeping and gnashing of teeth in that house that night. I said, man, sorry, you shouldn't have invested in all those demonic figures. I got G.I. Joes, bro. I still got mine. The Bible says resist the devil, he'll flee. You got to resist and keep resisting the devil. Jesus resisted temptation. He told the devil, away from me, Satan. It got to the point where Jesus had to just say, away from me, Satan. I don't think it was, away from me, Satan. Like you see in the old Jesus films, away from me, Satan. Get. I don't think it was like that. I think it was, away from me. I mean, it was, you're out of here. I think like an umpire. You know, have you ever seen how they do that? I mean, they just let him have it. Here, away from me, Satan. Get out of here. It's like that time I was sitting in my breakfast nook. I was sitting in my breakfast nook, and I hear something out in the garage. I was like, somebody's out there? At that time, I was the only person home. Nobody there. My roommate was gone, and I thought, somebody's in the garage. That's kind of freaky. I thought I had closed it. But I'm hearing something moving around in there, and I opened the door, and I had left the garage door open. And as I opened the door, here's this possum with a dead rat in his mouth coming in the house. And again, the devil will keep continually trying to bring dead rats into your house all the time. And I said, go! And he just kept coming. You know how possums are? They can't see a thing. I don't know if they're blind or what, but they're just like. Oh, they're just ugly things. Oh. And here it is coming in my house. I said, get! And it kept coming. And I'm thinking, can this thing not hear either? It's blind and it can't hear, but it's just like coming up my step. As it's coming up the step into my house, it was almost in my house, and I knew I've got to do something or this thing is coming in my house. And so I went like this, I just went, get! And I stomped my foot right in its face. And he dropped the rat, and it was like he saw me for the first time and was like, huh? And then he just took off back in the garage. Curled up behind a trash can and played possum like they do. The devil will do that sometimes. Ooh, that'll preach too. The devil will say, I'm gone. I'm gone. Are you really? Are you just playing possum? Yeah, I might just be hiding somewhere. You might need to do a thorough cleaning. I might have to go and get that thing completely out and wrestle with this possum all night. But if I had not done that, that possum would have brought that rat into my house. If that wouldn't have stopped it, my only next recourse was just to punt that thing. And sometimes you got to do that. You just got to kick the devil right between the eyes and say, boom, field goal. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsakes them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that fears always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. So confess and forsake. Don't cover it up. It's like John Davis used to come and preach, God can't cover what you don't uncover. And so you got to let the blood cover it. And to do that, you got to uncover it. You got to confess it, forsake it. Fear the Lord more than you fear anything else. Don't harden your heart. Like what Gerard said the other day, we have to fear God more than our own deaths and love God more than our own life. I fear God too much. You got to cast your care on Him because He really does care for you. C-A-R-E, conviction, affliction, restriction, eviction. He cares for you. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. He's talking about my people. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That word heal caught my attention the other day. I will heal their land. Jeremiah 3:22 says, return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Hosea 14:4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him. Got to let the Lord heal you. If you have fallen, or if you're in the process of falling, call on the Lord. I was telling Robbie, he said, just right before I came up, he said, what are you preaching on tonight? I said, how not to fall. And he said, hey, my granddad saw a sign in the hospital that said, call, don't fall. Is that right? Call, don't fall. And I said, oh, that's good. All you got to do is call, don't fall. Call on the Lord. He's able to keep you. Don't think you can do it on your own. You can't. Call, don't fall. Call on the Lord. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Get some help, and God can help you. Now is not the time to slide back, but let's press onward. Philippians 4:13, toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Now's not the time to go back. Now's the time to go forward. Now's not the time to say, oh, well, my life's really messed up now. May as well totally blow it and just go off for the devil. No. If you're here tonight, there's still hope for you. Amen. If you're breathing, there's still hope for you. Don't ever let the devil make you think that you've gone too far, that you're disqualified for whatever God wants to do for you. You're not. But it's a dangerous place if you don't let the Lord heal you of your backsliding. I want everyone to just bow their head and close their eyes again. I know we already gave an altar call, but this is a checkup from the neck up, so to speak. To say, Lord, where's my thinking wrong? My heart is right with you, but my head is maybe not agreeing with my heart. You know you're born again. You know you're saved. You know you're going to heaven. And it's not an issue of, am I saved or not? Because as we gave the altar call, everyone here said, yes, I am saved. I am born again. But is your head contrary to what your heart is saying? Is your flesh leading you somewhere that you don't want to go? Like Paul said, there are times where the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. Well, if you think Paul had that problem, imagine everyone else here probably have the same issue. But again, it just is a matter of crucifying your flesh, making those decisions and saying, Lord, this is what I'm going to do in response to your word. My son Samuel was acting up a little earlier, and Ashley was taking him out to give him correction. And he came back, and I said, did you get the correction? He said, no, I got a warning of grace and mercy. Well, this is a warning of grace and mercy tonight. And again, it's not too late. Again, the odds are that some of y'all won't make it. If you look at something, Pastor Bob came in one night to a Conquerors Club, and he said, looking at the statistics, the odds are, the numbers show that I think it was 50% of you here married today won't be married in a matter of time. I don't know if it was a year or how long it was, however many years. 50% of you won't make it in this room tonight. And it just took the wind out of the room because it hit people. You got to do something to beat those odds. You got to call on the name of the Lord, because the odds are against you. The devil is against you. Life is against you. We have an enemy that is shooting at you. And so you need to do everything you can do to trust the Lord. Say, God, I'm going to do my part. I know you've already done your part. God, I'm going to do my part. And I'm going to call on you, saying, Lord, help me right now. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here tonight and you say, you know what, I need to respond to this. I need to confess that my life, there are things in my life that I need to get right with God. I'm, as a confession, I'm not going to have you come forward. I don't want to embarrass you, but I want you to respond right now and just lift your hand and say, that's me. Pray for me. I want to get free tonight. Thank you. I see that hand, that hand, that hand, that hand, that hand. I see hands going up all over. That hand, that hand, that hand, that hand, that hand. Thank you. Others that are lifting their hand. As you do that, I believe pride is coming off of you. That's what that does. When you call on the Lord for help, it takes the pride off and says, God, I can't do this. I need you. I'm calling so I won't fall. You said you were able to keep me. So God, I thank you for that. Thank you for that, God. And it's more than lifting a hand, but that's the first step. As you go home, there'll be some eviction that needs to take place. There'll be some things in your mind, some thoughts that you need to evict. Maybe some plans that you had that you need to not do. Maybe some phone numbers you need to delete on your phone. Maybe a road you don't go down anymore. That road is closed to me. I don't go down that road anymore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Spirit of God is moving right now. He's touching you. Let Him touch you. Let Him bring freedom. In Jesus' name. I said I wouldn't lay hands on those of you that lifted your hand, but I do want to say this. If there's anyone here tonight and you say, I've tried and tried and tried, but have not been able to do it, and I need prayer, I want you to stand up. If you say, I need prayer, just stand up. If you're here tonight and say, you know what, I've tried and tried, or there's something I know that I don't have any control over my flesh in an area, and you say, I know I cannot make it if I don't have someone lay hands on me, and maybe that's where your point of faith is. Maybe your faith is, if they'll lay hands on me, I believe that I will be set free from this bondage. I want you to stand up and just come down here if that's you, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to lay hands on you. Because there is the power of God and the freedom right now to be set free. Come on up here. Come on up here, Cody. Anybody else? Just come on up. There are times whenever there's like a moment of freedom. It's almost like, I can't explain it, but there's that moment you know this is it. Hallelujah. This is it. You'll never be the same. I promise those of you that come forward here, you will never be the same after tonight. It's it. Eviction notice has been sent to the devil. And sometimes too, there are things, I heard one minister say it like this, it's almost like claws in your brain. And you need to be set free from that. Again, it's not your heart. You know you're born again. You know everything's right with God in your heart. You're born again. You're on your way to heaven. But there's something in your flesh or in your brain that's almost like claws that the devil has in you. It's time for them to get out in Jesus' name. And you won't have this problem anymore after tonight. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we speak freedom to you. We command you, devil, to go in Jesus' name. Get out of there. You have no place in there. In Jesus' name. We sent an eviction notice tonight saying, devil, from this night forward, no more. No more falling. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we command to go. In Jesus' name. Command those claws of the devil to get out of there. You have no place. Get, take your dead rat with you in Jesus' name and go. You have no place in this mind, in this body. It belongs to the Lord. He's presenting His body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. And I thank you, God, for freedom tonight from Cody in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, for freedom right now in the name of Jesus from every thought process, every thinking pattern. From the past, in Jesus' name, I just see new routes for you. God's taking you in new circles. Hallelujah. He's taking you out of the old ruts. Hallelujah. He's getting you in new circles. Kibro monongo siti kiasi. Ibro mongo siti kiasi. Oh, and there's blessing. Where there was sin before, there's blessing. In Jesus' name, and we command any thought of the devil to get out of there in Jesus' name and never come back again. To go and not to come back in the name of Jesus. You have no place in her body, in her mind, in her thoughts. In Jesus' name, we just thank you, Father God, that you renew a right spirit. God, that you renew that right spirit of his mind. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Ko robo ko sitiki ase. Hallelujah. There's some eviction that needs to take place in your life, and God said he's going to help you through it. And he's going to take out anything that's not of God that you take out in your life. God says he's going to replace it with something 10 times better, something more enjoyable, even more fun than anything the devil could try to offer you. So don't fall for the devil's counterfeit, young man. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that, God. Eviction in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for eviction right now in the name of Jesus. For a setting free and a letting it go. Hallelujah, setting free and a letting it go. There it goes in Jesus' name. It has no power over you anymore. No power over you anymore. Hallelujah, it has no place in you anymore in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, we thank you, God, for complete freedom. We just command even that possum that's hiding in the closet there to get up and go. You're evicted. Hallelujah, we're poking you with the sword of God's word and saying, get out of here. Go, you have no place. You have no place in my sister's life, in her mind, in her thinking, in her body, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, God, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Free indeed. So we just sit We just serve you an eviction notice, devil, in Jesus' name. And every thought that comes from you is not of God, and we resist it right now and command it to go in Jesus' name. Go! Get out in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God. We just submit an eviction notice right now in Jesus' name. The name above all names, the name of Jesus, that your mind is and your body is the temple of the Lord. And just as Jesus came in and he cleaned out the temple, you're cleaning out the temple tonight. You're cleaning out this temple tonight. In Jesus' name, we command it to get out of there and to go and have no place in her mind, in her thoughts, in her body. In Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for bringing blessing to her. Everything good, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. Everything else is of the devil and has to go. In Jesus' name, I just thank you, God, for a new way of thinking. And we just send that eviction in Jesus' name, that it's got to go, that truth is coming to you in Jesus' name, that God's giving you revelation. Where the devil tried to come and bring temptation, God is bringing revelation. He's bringing his word. And you're a woman of God. You're a child of God. And God doesn't want you in that sewer anymore. God says, get out of that sewer. That's not, my child doesn't belong in there. Get out of there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And you know what? You'll never be the same after tonight. Hallelujah. He's able to keep you from falling in that again. He's able to keep you, and he'll help you. Get hungry for the word of God. Get so hungry for the things of God. Yeah, you're a minister's kid. So was I. Say, yeah, well, I've seen that. There's things God has for you that nobody has ever seen. Don't think you've seen it all or you've heard it all or, well, we know how that goes or anything like that. Because I'm telling you, God's got more for us. He's got more for us that we haven't seen, that we haven't experienced. And he is real. His word is true. Every word from the devil is a lie. And you can count on that. You can bank on that. You can give your life to that, sis. Hallelujah. You can give your life to that and trust that. God won't fail you. He'll never let you down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I just sense the love of God coming all over you right now. It says God's taking you in his arms and just playing with you. But he's watching over you. He cares for you. So cast all your care on him, okay? Cast all your care on him because he cares for you. And he sees you. Even tonight as you lay down, God's smiling as he's watching over you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, God. You know, God really does care. I had a vision one time. I can't explain it. It was during a time of revival. The Lord was just speaking to me. Had my eyes closed, and I could see this field that I used to play in as a little boy. Just an empty field, and there was this one spot where there's a whole bunch of sand. And again, I used to play with my G.I. Joes there. And I could see, like I was flying over this field, and I looked down, and there in the sand, there I am playing with my G.I. Joes. I thought, that's me. This was before Google Earth and satellite imagery. It was amazing. I'm like, that is me. I'm playing with my G.I. Joes. And God said, I saw you then. And I thought, that's interesting. What was that about? But you know, I was overwhelmed with such a love in my heart, looking down at myself as a little kid playing with those G.I. Joes. And I'm telling you, God looks at us, and he's always looking at us with mercy and love, and he sees what we're doing. It may not be something spiritual. It may just be playing or having fun or doing whatever. But God says, I'm watching you. My eye is upon you. And I'm protecting you. I'm keeping you. I can keep you from falling. But you got to trust me. There have been times when you didn't even know it, that God was watching you and protecting you and kept you from falling. Let's just thank Him right now. Lord, we just thank You, God. Thank You for Your word, God, that's spoken to us. Thank You for those that have been set free. Thank You, God, for all the times that we didn't even know about. Lord, that You've kept us. Kept us from going the wrong way, doing the wrong thing. Kept us from that person. Kept us from that thing. Thank You, God, for Your keeping power. And Lord, we give You glory and You honor. Lord, that we're here tonight. If it weren't for You, oh, where would I be? But for the Lord. So Lord, we just thank You and we publicly glorify You and we honor You for that. And we pray, Lord, continue to keep us. Lord, keep our youth, keep our young people, keep our children. Give us wisdom, Lord, in what we allow and what we don't. Thank You, God. You keep us close to You as we keep close to You, God, that You draw us unto You, Lord. Let us run together. We will rejoice and You will be glad. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir.
You know, just before we leave tonight, I felt like the Lord just spoke to my heart. And I know, even just in a crowd like this tonight, someone's bound to say, what in the world is a message like this? You know, if Brother Rodney Howard Brown had been here, Jesse Duplantis, or Kenneth Copeland, or, you know, I could name precious men of God. Why, you know, we'd had a lot of people here, and then they should have heard whatever. But the Lord brought to my heart from 2 Peter chapter 1, where the Word of God says this. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, the Word of God, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. I'm in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, or the God kind of love. Now, listen carefully to this. These verses they've challenged my heart for years. For if these things be in you and abound, in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. The Lord, sitting right there, brought to my memory, and it hasn't been that many months ago, young lady that God brought to this church, had to be miraculous because the way of life and everything God brought her in, saved, filled with the Spirit, attended at least a semester of Bible college. I can still see her on the floor over here being prayed for. And you know, sometimes you as a pastor, I've learned, you never know what's in a service. If one person is there's a purpose for that. And so help me, I remember after one night seeing her on the floor, the very next Sunday, she came up to me, sweet in her spirit. She said, "Brother Nichols, this church has been such a blessing, and just love you, and I love the people here at Calvary. I've learned," she said, "I've never heard the things that I've learned here in just this short period of time. But I met a man on the social media out in California, and he's proposed to me," and she quit her job. I mean, she was on her, she said, I'll leave in the morning. Had a car already loaded here in church. You never know what's going on in someone. I mean, every appearance, Bible college, I believe we'd even come through revival now, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it was about that time last year. And then I can still see her on the floor more than once. And then just coming in. And it wasn't a mean thing. She was not disrespectful. She said, I'm in love. I met someone on the, you know, I met someone. And, you know, there's times you can do something, and there's times you just feel utterly helpless because people make their own decisions. And, you know, I just simply say this, never question the Word of God when it comes forth. Never question. You know, you say, well, I wished all the young people were here that could hear that. Well, you know, there's more than young people that miss it. You never get too old to miss it. Never get too old to miss it. You say, well, I can't. Someone said, well, I can't do anything. I was talking to them. They said, yeah, but you can think it. And they'd given their thought life over. So all I'm saying tonight, you know, folks, we've come so far, and I've seen this in untimely leaves from time to time. You know, I've given you the illustration. You have a 36-month car note, 48-month car note, 2 months short of that. You get sick and tired of making those car payments. I'm just not going to make any more payments. Well, they have a plan for you. And there will be a little or a big tow truck that will come pick it up. Same thing with the house. I've known people literally that almost had a house paid for and said, I just got tired of making payments. And the payments weren't exorbitant. So what I'm saying to all of us, let us all take heed. And one thing that I've incorporated, and this is it, I'm not trying to preach a message. Brother Dan has done a marvelous, it's been a 1, 2, 3, 4 that every child of God needs to hear. But you know, the 6th chapter of Matthew, the Lord's Prayer, I've rediscovered that over the past few months. You see, I've not only seen young people miss it, I know of one or two situations right now that I'm still floored at people that have been in church, loved God, I mean, heard the messages that all of you have heard, and yet tonight there's problems in their life. The Word of God said in the 6th chapter of Matthew, verse 9, they said, teach us to pray, Lord. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Now, I know there's more sophisticated ways to pray, and I know that's not the only way to pray. And some people get so in faith, they say, well, that prayer's, not, you know, that's null and void. You just better watch it. All the Word of God's good for you. And it said, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And I emphasize two things here. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Some things are hard to forget. Some things are hard to forgive. I faced some great challenges the last 2 or 3 years. Some things happened there. I mean, it's, you know, it's not that big a deal. You just do what the Word of God said and go on down the road. But some things challenge your faith to the core. But I found that I can say, Father, as a faith act of my will, I release complete forgiveness to anyone who has sinned against me or anyone that I've sinned against them. But here's the one I want to emphasize. And lead us not into temptation. Let me tell you the way the Lord spoke that to my heart. Lord, don't let me be led into anything that I would not have the strength or the faith to overcome that. I'm not doing any violence to the Lord. Lord, don't let me be led. Guide my steps. But deliver us from evil. What don't we understand about evil? Deliver us from evil. For thine, he's able to do it. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd just like to challenge you. I read it slow, but you can read it much quicker than that. Just to incorporate this into your morning time of devotion or prayer. And just trust God. Lord God, we don't want to miss it. Don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss it. Could we stand and spend a good night?